everyone's got opinions, Dan.
Oh, not me.
Everyone's got opinions.
I have no opinions. So, I just go along to get along.
Yeah. Today on Life Talks, we're going to do a word association game. I'm going to throw out an idea, and I want your honest opinion about it. Okay.
Yeah, but my question is already: do you really want my honest opinion?
Without getting canceled.
See, now you're putting rules in place.
We can edit this, so maybe just kind of say whatever you want to say.
So listeners, if there's long periods of blanks,
I wish we could have. You know how like you have in those shows where you have the color screen with the different stripes.
Yes.
Okay, so Dan, I'm going to throw out a thing, and we'll kind of talk about it.
I got some I'm interested in.
So you want to start with me, or do you want me to start with you?
I'm good either way.
All right, I'm gonna ask you the first thing I'm gonna ask you is, what do you think about the Palestinian protesters on college campuses?
Yeah. Well, my first thought, and I don't even really have to think about this too much because I've already been thinking about it. My first thought is has very little to do about Palestine. Hmm.
Most explain.
Well, it's part of a general bent toward revolution that certain parts of our culture are bent toward. The Palestinian issue, the Palestinians themselves are just convenient foils for extremists in this country who are trying to disrupt society and culture and our nation. I mean, it's largely led by anarchists. Mm-hmm. And these are people who travel the world. They're funded by dark and shady organizations, disrupt governments and to disrupt nations and to disrupt cultures, because they believe that you can't rebuild utopia unless you tear down the existing things.
Right.
So you need to see them for what they were. And by the way, this happened in the 60s, and I'm the one person in this room old enough to remember this. But you know, they used the Vietnam War as the issue, but it was far deeper than that, and it spilled out into the Chicago Convention of 1968. When Hubert Humphrey was eventually nominated, but it was right after the assassination of Robert F. Kennedy and also of Martin Luther King. Mm. So there was this general turmoil and unrest in the nation and confusion, and it was just a perfect time for it. It was a perfect storm. And so the National Democratic Convention in Chicago turned into a huge storm of violence, and then Mayor Richard Daley overreacted, had his police go in, and there was it was this mess. So we're seeing this now. The country's in turmoil. Everything from the overturn of Roe versus Wade to the Trump trials to the attacks constantly on Biden to the Hamas deal. All of these things are constantly just keeping us in. Plus, the internet has poured gasoline on and on it anyway. Then you got these dark, shadowy figures in the background, the people like the George Soros Foundation, who fund these things, and this is not QAnon stuff. It's not stuff that you know you get off the darker edges of the internet.
No,
you can see this, and so what is going on here is a disruption of the culture of society, news cycles, and so forth for an agenda that basically is we want turmoil, we want chaos, we want all these things. So eventually it collapses and then we can rebuild. Now, I think there's another thing going on here, and I think this is also the consequence of the complete and total loss of the American higher education system to the radical left.
Yeah.
And by the way, you know, a congresswoman years ago called me up and was upset with me because I was withdrawing from politics. And one of the things that she said to me is she said, Dan, if you knew the billions of dollars that the Middle Eastern countries are pouring into the United States through the college systems so that they can send their students over here and so that they will not be subject to the criticism of the educational elites lest they lose their funding. She goes, there's going to come a day when there's a payday on this. I believe we're seeing the payday.
Wow. How many years ago was that, Dan?
This was 2004 or 2005, somewhere around there.
Wow. Yeah. So like 20 years ago.
Yeah.
You had someone in Congress, a U.S. congresswoman, told you there are billions of dollars coming in from
the Middle East to the leading colleges and universities in this country
to shape the thinking
of the nation as it in regard to the Middle East.
Wow.
And these colleges have sold their soul to the radical left and to foreign interests and so forth. So when you're getting billions of dollars, you know, so Kraft the other day said, well, I'm going to pull my money. Well, he may be giving $100 million when other nations,
like Qatar,
oil states are giving billions through this. You know, there's, and these are industries, these universities, I mean, they have more funds in their endowment accounts than some small nations do.
Wow.
And so they're very, this is very, very powerful. And that's why you see the capitulation taking on, in my opinion, where they're canceling graduations, why they've got professors out there joining the students and, and promoting the violence. So I think there is a possibility that this summer is going to be a lot of chaos in a lot of places. And I would also say, because this is the first time Chicago is hosting the Democratic National Convention since 1968, that could be a very, very interesting week.
Yeah. I think you said a lot there, and I think you said a lot of great things there. So thank you for sharing that. You know,
I try not to be too paranoid. And, you know, my politics right now is nowhere in the mainstream.
I know. But I think, as Christians, you sit and you watch this, and I think one of the hard things, the reason why this is important is because it's not like I want everyone in our church to listen to us and be like, well, that's what I should think. Mm-hmm. But I do think what we can do is add a Christian worldview and a perspective to, because there literally are thousands of voices. People are saying, this is what you should think about this, right?
Yeah.
And we're not trying to, you know, we're obviously adding to the cacophony of opinions, but I do think it's important to teach your people how to think biblically. And you have to understand that there are forces at work that are beyond human forces that are seeking to steal, kill, and destroy the goodness, truth, and beauty that is in the world today.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah. And I don't care what eschatological position you hold. We know that in the end, Jesus comes back and amidst a world that's in utter broken chaos. Yeah. So we ought not be super surprised that these things are happening around the world.
Yeah.
This has been foretold.
Yeah. I when I think about the higher education system, there is a part of me, I'm always a Mr. Positive, glass half full, but I do wonder if it's a system now so broken, because it doesn't feel like
repair.
It doesn't feel like education's really happening. It feels like they're more indoctrination places. I would seriously if my child was going to a public university, I would be very seriously.
Yeah.
Yeah. I would have major concerns.
I would be watching
how
their administration is responding to these situations now. So I think there are some schools that are really fighting back. UNC Chapel Hill, interestingly, had quite a pushback on it. And I understand something happening in the news this morning, and today's date is May 7th, 8th. What is it?
7th.
Yeah, 7th. So, but University of Florida, you know, of course, that's kind of a state that's really leading the way on that. But I would say this, you know, we have lost the pillars of civilization already in this country.
Marriage is gone.
The courts, the family, but I'm talking about the ones generally associated with civil government. The courts are gone. You know, big business. I mean,
why do you say the courts are gone? I'm just curious.
Hmm?
Why do you say the courts are gone?
Well, just look at what's going. When I say the legal system,
Okay.
For instance, just what's going on with the DAs.
Oh yeah.
Truth is, the law is no longer being founded on truth, and it's just a matter of a generation before the Supreme Court is led by people who believe that truth is relative and that the original documents are not essential for the interpretation of law. And so when you get to that point, then truth means whatever whoever holds a position is. And that's why you're seeing in Charlotte, one of the controversies going on right now, we just lost four police officers. And the DA kept letting this guy that eventually killed these four guys out over and over and over again.
Yeah.
I mean, the guy had a rap sheet longer than your arm. There's something fundamentally broken in a culture that when we cannot protect the citizenry or even the authority.
Okay. Got it. Yeah. Okay. So I see what you're saying is that the radical district attorneys that are not prosecuting actual crimes.
Yeah. And the whole legal system at all. Yeah. I mean, you know, we can say, well, look at the Supreme Court. Well, yeah, but look at, there's 13 other courts.
Yeah. Yeah.
And of those, most of them are controlled by leftists.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay.
All right. So here's my question for you.
All right, Dan. I'm ready.
So recently, our somebody that you and I hold in significant esteem and has an international ministry, whose initials are John MacArthur.
Okay.
Got up on a podcast.
I haven't heard about this.
You have not heard this. This will make it more interesting.
Okay.
got up and was interviewed, and now it is all over the media, both Christian and secular.
Okay.
I'm shocked you have not heard this yet.
Okay.
And said that there is no such thing as ADHD, ADD. There is no such thing as most mental illnesses, that it is all a concoction, and that usually, that basically the root is sin.
It's John MacArthur. I'm not surprised. Sorry, I'm not surprised.
Yeah. So I would just like, and I mean, it is, I mean, just Google John MacArthur right now, and every news story you see about him is going to be about that.
Yeah.
So what say you?
I do believe, okay, so I do believe when you go to the DSM-5, which is the psychotherapeutic Bible, so to speak, you know, I would agree that there are certain things that they call disorders, diseases, that are just kind of like, no, that's just broken human beings, sinfulness. I agree with that. I don't think every disorder that is in there, because have you ever seen the DSM?
No.
It's like, I'm holding my fingers up. It's about three, four inches thick. I mean, it is a big book. And I had to do, I've had to look and do studies on what stuff in that book. And there's a lot of times I'm reading this and I'm like, this is so dumb. You know, this is blah, 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 blah disorder. Or I could just say, it's just being selfishly sinful. Okay, so I do get that there are things that, this is why I've said I like the science of psychology, I don't like the philosophy of psychology. The philosophy of psychology is human beings are essentially good, and we can explain away every single behavior that is called sinful as a distortion, as a sickness, as a disease, as a disorder. No, fundamentally, I do believe that human beings are sinful. The Bible teaches that we will do things for ourselves with disregard to others. With that said, I do believe there are mental health disorders. I do believe that. I genuinely believe there are ways in which people think and act that are unique. And scientifically, we've been able to classify these things. Here's another thing I would say. According to what science is teaching us, are these disorders or behavior issues, are they purely hardwired in people, or can they change? I primarily believe they can change. I believe that there will always be a propensity to certain disorders, but I also believe with the science of neurobiology and neuroplasticity, what they have proven is that people can grow and change from some of the disorders that they've have. So I do believe that there are mental health issues that people have. I don't think everything can be attributed to sin, but I also don't think that people are hardwired. We know now brains are not hardwired. We know that brains are softwired and that people can change disorders that they have. So
So I'm going to ask a follow-up question because this was part of it.
Okay.
And I think a lot of us, and I think perhaps you and I would agree on this, that we have a tendency to over-rely on medication.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean,
but here's my question. Do you think it is unwise to take medication to deal with mental illness?
ADHD.
Or some of the, I mean, of course, it's a spectrum of things, you know.
Yeah, it's so hard to give because there's such a nuance to this answer. Okay. So what I would say is, are there?
And by the way, one of the issues was depression.
Okay.
I couldn't remember what the other, but he basically said depression is a sin issue, not a mental health issue.
Gosh. Okay. I don't believe that. Okay. So do I believe that there are certain times that people fall into depression because of their sin?
Sure.
Yes.
We see it in the scripture.
Sure. Okay. Just because someone has, I think the Bible talks about depression in different ways. Like the psalmist or the Proverbs talk about having a broken spirit, okay? They didn't have words like depression, but they did talk about having a broken spirit. So especially David in the Psalms and Proverbs talk about these kinds of feelings or these issues. Not everything, I would say, is a sin issue. I think that there are times when we do feel we fall into mental health behaviors that are hard, that are difficult to deal with. I've said this before. I think medication should be used as a Band-Aid, not as a permanent solution for something. Because I believe that most cases, again, people can learn how to change their thoughts, their processes. I believe that. It doesn't mean that I believe that that's easy for everyone. I think that there people are more have a propensity towards melancholy. I have people, you know, that there's sometimes there's an inclination for certain things. But I do believe that God can make all things new. I do believe that, like even the man, we sang the song, William Cowper, it's spelled Cowper, but here's a man that in the, 17th century, wrote some of the most beautiful hymns, but severely struggled with depression, severely, okay? And what I would say is he went through a roller coaster of experiences that I don't believe was, he was just sinning. No, he had some major mental health problems because of, I believe if you read his life story, because of past abuse and neglect in his life. And because we don't have a lot of the, let's deal with some of these hurts and issues in your life, those problems never got resolved. And he was kind of left with dealing with those issues on his own. So I think that mental health medication can help in times, but I don't think it should be always used as a crutch to carry you on. For example, there are so many studies out there. And here's the thing with scientific studies and research, you can find research that proves all kinds of things. But there is proof that young people that have severe ADHD can reduce the symptoms and the signs of ADHD with things like proper nutrition, with things like regular exercise. Because when a young child is able to run around all day and eats food that is nourishing their bodies, getting the vitamins and the minerals, because the brain-gut connection, science shows us that where most of the issues in our brain, the brain chemistry, there's a direct correlation to our gut bacteria. When people improve their diet and people improve their exercise, it improves their mental health. I mean, I cannot tell you how many studies and scientific articles I could share with you to say this helps. So I don't think it's always, here's a pill, let's make it better. There are ways in which you can help some of the things that are considered mental health problems.
One of the things I've taken away from this whole controversy is this. When we have a microphone in front of us, we have to be very, very careful, or a bullhorn or whatever else. And I think it's unwise for any of us who have an audience to speak in areas in which we have limited knowledge, instruction, or research, even if we're pretty smart in some area. My criticism of John, who I've met and consider to be one of the brilliant theologians of our time, is that it is possible for people of influence to share their opinion in such a way that people walk away thinking that they've just heard fact.
Yep.
And I think it's irresponsible for those of us who have access to audiences it's okay to say, well, in my opinion, it's okay to say this has been my experience, but I think we have to be super, super careful, because it's kind of like thinking because I had skin cancer that I'm an expert on cancer, you know, there's no way.
Yeah. And I let me just say this. Even though I've gone to school, back to school, and I've studied psychology, I'm in no way an expert. So many other people that can answer this question better than me. I'm just telling you from my limited study, I would disagree with John MacArthur. Yeah. I think he is severely limited in his understanding of these things. And I would just say, just politely and graciously, John, I think you're wrong on this.
Yeah. And I think the majority of the people on the internet think that too. So, all right, we have time for one more.
We're down to 3 minutes.
Is there something we can discuss very quickly?
I don't know, because the next question I have for you, I want you to expand on. So why don't we just kind of stop it here?
I don't think it's a mini episode.
I mean, it's almost 20 minutes.
I've got a zinger for you too.
Do you have a zinger that is?
It's not one that does not require a more complex answer.
Okay. All right. So John MacArthur and Palestinian protests. Wait until the next episode. Yeah.
Send your emails to Ben Rudolph.
I mean, bring him on.
No. I'm just waiting until someday one of us say something so outrageous that it does go viral.
Yeah, how does that, what's that like, Dan? Okay. This has been another fun episode of Life Talks. Join us next time. We did an episode on fasting. We're kind of taking a little break. We're doing an episode on what we think about things, and then we'll pick it up fasting later. So this has been another great episode of Life Talks. We'll talk to you next time.
You've been listening to Life Talks. Be sure to hit the subscribe button so you never miss a new episode. Share this podcast on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter to let your friends and family know about Life Talks. We'd love to hear from you as well, so leave a comment and let us know your thoughts on this episode or any other topics we've discussed. Life Talks is a Ministry of Life Fellowship in Cornelius, North Carolina. For more information on Life Talks or Life Fellowship, visit lifecharlotte.com, or you can find us on Facebook at Life Fellowship Charlotte.